In just a few moments, we'll be singing our hymn of invitation. I'm confident that in our assembly tonight, there are those who are not children of God. And it is our prayer that when we leave here this evening, such will not be the case. But that each one who has reached the age of accountability will leave here this evening, having been born into the family of God, laid hope upon promises that the Lord has given to those who love Him, and leave with the confident assurance that through the grace and love of God, and loving and faithful obedience on your part, you are a Christian. You can have that confidence. Jesus died that you might have it. And to you, He says simply, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. If you're a child of God and you've been unfaithful to Him, it is our prayer that in the course of this lesson, as we study together from God's precious Word, something might be said that will move you to step out once more upon the precious promises of God. Rededicate, recommit your life to Him. Live a life of obedience and service. And trust in Him to fulfill His promise to you that all will be well with you in a little while. Tonight we study one of the great promises of Scripture. One of the great assurances that belongs to us as children of God. Found in Psalm 23 and verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. What is the shadow of death? There is one word that is translated in this expression, shadow of death, in the Hebrew language. And it's been suggested by Hebrew scholars that this same word, were it punctuated differently, and keep in mind that the punctuation is not a part of inspiration, that this word would actually mean deep shadow or deep gloom. And while as we progress in our lesson tonight, we're going to be talking primarily about the valley of the shadow of death, I want to impress upon you here in the beginning that if we limit the meaning and application of this passage to that one fact, we are limiting this passage in its meaning, in its application for our lives. I suggest to you that it stands for every drear, deadly, dark passage through which you and I pass. And furthermore, I suggest to you that there isn't a single one of us who has lived upon this earth very long who hasn't been through some of those passages. I know that maybe some of us older and we think wiser heads believe that we have been through more. We have seen more, we have lived more, we have suffered more, we have been in dark valleys, and maybe the young people don't even need to think about this. But even our young people have been in valleys. They've lost friends. They've lost family. And some of them have been through valleys through which you and I have never been, as families have separated. And what I want us to learn tonight is simply this, that when we turn to God's Word, God gives us an assurance that yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow, He will be with us. In fact, that's what this passage is all about, courage in the valley. And I suggest to you that David did not intend to say that he was devoid of fear, that there simply wasn't any fear. I don't know how you are, but most of us have greater fears in the darkness. We have greater fears in the darkness because our imagination seems to work overtime, and it peoples the darkness with terrors that are not real even. I can recall as a lad growing up in Austin, Texas, I used to like to go down and watch the Austin Senators play baseball. And it just so happened that we had moved to a house that was about a mile beyond the last stop on the bus stop. And when you walk down that last mile, that dark mile at night, there weren't any street lights. And on the left, there was a big empty space, just grass and trees, empty. And on the right side of that street was an institution for people who were criminally insane and otherwise having problems. And I'd get off the bus at the end of the bus stop and I'd start that mile down that dark road. And I'd go just as bravely as I could, and I learned the meaning of whistling in the dark. It sometimes gave me courage. And I could go pretty good till I'd hear a jackrabbit or something jump in the weeds to my left, and I'd run the rest of the way home. Because you see, my mind was peopling that filled with all kinds of terrors that I knew were going to get me, I knew had no other purpose in life but to lay hold on me, and I just knew one thing, they were going to have to catch me, and I was scared because there wasn't anybody with me. There's a picture in the Manchester Art Gallery which depicts the terror of the unknown. It shows a knight on a white steed, and that horse's head is dropped, his nostrils are quivering, and you can almost see his muscles trembling. And down at the feet of that horse, there are three hunting dogs, and you can see them cowered down and just looking with terror at what is before them. And what is in front of them is a dark passage. Behind them is a very pleasant path down which they have come. And the artist of that picture said of that painting, I have failed indeed if the story doesn't carry some lesson to ourselves today, whatever be our doubts and fears. But sitting on that horse is the knight. And that knight has something that separates him from those animals that makes him different. It's something that gives him courage in the face of the unknown. He lifts his sword before his face, and the shadow forms a cross upon him. And he is depicted as saying, "Into thy hands, O Lord." It is his faith that gives him courage. And I suggest to you that that is the thing on which our courage as God's people must rest. It must rest upon faith. It must rest upon confidence in God. It isn't to suggest that there isn't any evil in the valley, because that would be false security, since that evil is there and it's real. It's not to suggest that we have sufficient power in and of ourselves to deal with that evil, because you and I do not. But it is to suggest that when you and I come face to face with those dark terrors, and we face them hand in hand with our God, that we have nothing of which to be afraid. We may not be afraid sometimes when we ought to be. Sometimes people aren't afraid because they're just simply ignorant. They don't know what is there, or they don't recognize the terror. They don't recognize the problem. Some people are just insensitive to it. Some people are just indifferent to it. But that's not what we're talking about with Christians. With Christians, we have that quality which sees very clearly the possibility of peril, that sees the danger. We have one that is sensitive to pain and to loss. We have an individual that loves light and loves life, and yet that same person with all of those sensitivities faces calmly calamity and death because his calmness is born of his faith in Almighty God. Turn just a little bit over to Psalm 27. In Psalm 27 and verse 3, the psalmist says, "Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident." Now, Mr. Psalmist, you say, "In this will I be confident." What is it that you're placing your confidence in? What is it that you're relying on? What is it that enables you to face the host without fear and to have war rise up against you and not be afraid? Go back to the first verse. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" In Psalm 46, verses 1 to 3, there's a passage which has comforted many of us. "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Listen to it. "Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof." Look at all of the calamities, natural and otherwise, if the language be figurative, and the psalmist says, "God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Psalm 91, verses 5 and 6, "Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the error that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday." Why? Psalm 121, verses 7 and 8, "The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." What is it that gives him confidence? What is it that enables him to face the valley of the shadow without fear? I suggest to you that it is nothing more, but it is nothing less than the knowledge of the presence of God. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." After all, he's talking about the God who had fed him, made him to lie down in green pasture. He's talking about the God who had watered him, who led him beside still waters. And the psalmist knows that the God who had fed him, the God who had provided for him, was not going to desert him in the hour of danger. "Thou art with me," he said. Isn't it loneliness that complicates and accentuates most of our fears? Isn't it being alone that causes the greatest dread? Some of you ladies that have husbands who travel out of town, you know, when the husband's home and you're together, the lights can be turned out, the house can be as dark as pitch, and you're not afraid. But let the husband be gone, and the house looks like Times Square. Because all the lights are turned on, inside and outside, because I don't want to be alone, and I'm afraid to be alone, and the slightest sound causes problems. And what the psalmist is saying is, you don't necessarily need the light because God is with you. You can turn out the lights, you can go into the dark, and you don't need to be afraid. If we could just do things together all the time, it would help a lot, wouldn't it? Even when we just talk about the valley of the shadow of death, if we could die in groups, wouldn't it be fine? We wouldn't be nearly as afraid of it. If hand in hand we could breast the cold river, if hand in hand we could go into the darkness of the valley, we think to ourselves we would not be afraid. Death would lose a great deal of its terror and a great deal of its gloom. But unfortunately, such is not possible. And even when we die in groups, we still die alone. And it doesn't make much difference how much loved ones care for us and provide for us and deal with us in our dying moments. The only thing that they can ultimately do is to see us off. They can just smooth the path down to the edge of the shadow, and then they can wish us good voyage as we embark. Ultimately, there comes a time when last words have to be spoken, when final leave has to be taken, and then, as far as human eye can see, we step alone into the darkness of the valley. But the psalmist, thank God, the psalmist sees with a different eye. And the psalmist knows that is not the case. The psalmist sees that there is no break at all in the care of the all-fatherly hand. And he triumphantly declares that even the death crisis cannot separate me from my God, for Thou art with me. Observe, if you will, at this point in time, the change in David's language. Up to this point, David has been speaking of God in the third person. But now, like a little child, drawing closer to his father's side in the blackness, he changes his language from he to thou. From the third person to the second person. And as he comes to the valley of the shadow, he's no longer speaking about God. He's speaking to God. And the change in his language marks the energizing of his faith and its closer grip on the great hand of God in the dark. What a grand conception that gives us, that God hears. God really hears. What multitudinous voices constantly make their barrage upon the mind of the Almighty. Voices of joy, voices of sin, voices of distress, voices of prayer, voices of praise. In all times, all places. In whispers, in shrieks, in groans, in hosannas. all of them at one time making their way to the throne of God. And God is telling me that in the midst of all of that noise, my feeble voice is not lost, but it reaches his ear. When I draw near to him and whisper, "Thou art with me," God will deliver. God will comfort. "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." "Thy rod and thy staff, they bring me through the valley." Read it tonight. Believe it tonight. Be thankful for it tonight. We are not going into the valley to stay. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," we're coming through. We enter the tunnel and it seems all dark. But in faith, we look forward to its terminus and there we see the light. Oh, it's dark, it's a little awesome, it's a little spectral. It's a little fearful just now. But sing this song. Sing this song. And it'll light the darkness with a little of the light of heaven yet to be revealed. The spirit of this grand verse is that of fearless courage going forward to conquer the dark unknown. Oh, I wish to God tonight for you, for me, for all of us. That it was possible to avoid going into the valley. But it's not. In our human predicament, we all must face them. But I'm so glad. I'm so happy to be able to tell you tonight that it's possible to be in it and not be afraid. To realize a divine presence in the darkness. To be aware of a love and a power on which you and I can depend and which can give us security. And so this grand verse, breathed more than 3,000 years ago from the mouth of one whom God had comforted, comes down through the ages as God's great "Fear not" to His people when He leads them into the darkness. And it's laid up in this book for you and for me, and for all of the ages that are future, as a promise of strength and joy for whatever evil may come, whatever dark valley we may be called upon to pass. Just like those grand snatches of praise that we find in the apocalypse. Like the great alleluia which is uttered to the Lord God omnipotent as He reigns. This verse, mighty for the past, is written for time still future. And it lies there waiting till there shall be hearts and lips to sing. as I walk through the valley of shadow, no evil do I fear. Thy staff of love doth comfort me. Thy rod itself has cheer. For they guide me with care to the pastures fair where the living waters flow, where the shadows give place to the sun of thy grace, and thy passion flowers grow. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Are you with him tonight? If not, the invitation is yours. Won't you come while we stand and while we sing?